Our New Testament passage today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware and keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock's crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May the Lord bless your understanding, the reading of Jesus' words from the Gospel of Mark. Today is the beginning of a sermon series on being wise stewards in response to God's call. I don't want anybody to be scared that I'm going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about how much money you can give. There would be part of that. But stewardship is much, much more than money. And we're going to be talking about the gifts that God has given us and then what we do with that resource, that gift, in response. Today we're going to be talking about the gift of time. Next week we'll be talking about the gift of faith. And then Wendy Bailey's going to come and join us and talk about her understanding of stewardship. And then I'll return and talk about the gift of talents, because God has entrusted us with things that we can do really well, and he wants to know what you're going to do with those. And then the last week, November 20th, but it's a very special day in our church because it's what's called Commitment Sunday. And so what I want you to do is pray about, during this stewardship season, what you want to commit to God of these four things. What will you commit of your faith? How do you share your faith with others, or do you? What do you give of your treasure? What do you give of your time? And what do you give of your talents? So pray this season with me, if you don't mind, for God to speak to you. So today's gift is time. And I'll tell you what, there's one thing we all have the same, as I mentioned to the children in children's time, right? We only have 24 hours every day. It'd be really nice if, when we have a lot going on, like I do most of the time, and I'm sure you do too, that we could add a few hours to the day. Because at the end of the day, it seems like sometimes, you know, we just can't get it all done. And I will tell you that we learned from Marissa how many minutes there are in the whole year, but I have written down how many minutes there are in a week, which is 1,440. And then that means 86,400 seconds every day the same. Sorry, 1,440 minutes in a day. Every day, that's a day's worth of time, and it's a gift from God, and you can't get it back. It's not like once it goes beyond, if you didn't use it wisely, tomorrow you can cash it in for a little bit more. We only get 24 hours a day. So let's think about it in the terms of money, where we'd all be rich, let's just say, for a second. And each of us is given $86,400 a day every day, right? But the problem and the rule is of it that whether you spend it or not, tomorrow it's gone. That's sort of what time is like. We have 86,400 seconds every day, and whether we use them wisely or not, they are gone at the end of the day. So good stewardship of time is good management. And like everything that God gives us, it's important that we don't waste the resources and the gift that God has given us. Nowadays in our society, I think more than ever, time has become a very precious commodity. And I challenge us this morning to think about it. Doesn't everything we have, everything that is in front of us, belong to God? It's easy sometimes to get up and say, this is mine. Right? I mean, sometimes we've worked hard for stuff. You know, this is my car. This is my house. This is my kid. Right? It's my. But really, let's think about it. I mean, did you choose where you were born? Did you choose who your parents were? Did you choose what talents you were given? Did you choose what opportunities came in front of you, like who helped you get your first job or who helped teach you what you know? Did you really make every choice in your life to lead you where you are today? In Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." That includes the gift of time. And in the creation story that we heard a few weeks ago from the kids, we learned that God gave us two great lights, the sun that governs the day and the moon that governs the night. And there was evening and there was morning on the first day. Think about that. It wasn't that it started with morning. It started with evening. And that's why at the end of every day, it's new, because it actually ends in the morning. We get a fresh start, a new day. We don't choose the moment we are born. And as it says in Ecclesiastes 3, everything is laid out for us, right? It's not that God has preordained everything, that we don't have any choices or we don't have any consequences or we don't have any part in the day, but things are ordained by God, such as gravity that holds us on the earth, that we can walk around here and not float around in the sky, right? Gravity is part of God's gift to the world, and it is what it is. You can't change it, right? And there are certain things about the way that God made the world that doesn't change, which is that there's only 24 hours in every day, regardless of where you live around the world. Sometimes there's white nights. Have you ever been to Alaska? You know, they have lots more hours in the daylight, but they still only have the same amount of hours put into sleep, right? I mean, there's still the same amount of hours. A poll by Priority Management Incorporated calculated that in a lifetime, an average American would spend, this is a horrible statistic, just think about this, 6 months sitting at a stoplight. Can you imagine of your entire life you're going to spend that long in front of a red light? 8 months of your life is going to be spent opening junk mail. Holy moly. Now, it's probably email these days, but all the same, 8 months of your life are spent opening junk mail. 1 year, this is really sad because I sometimes do this, 1 year looking for things that you misplaced, like glasses or keys or, you know, whatever, right? I mean, and you look, they're misplaced, which means they eventually come back. But you're going to spend one whole year, a precious year of your life, looking for things that you cannot find. 2 years, okay, you're going to spend unsuccessfully returning phone calls. In other words, you're going to get a voicemail message, right? Or you're going to get somebody that doesn't have the time to help you because it's a customer service agent that's not the right one, right? Whatever, unsuccessfully returning phone calls. And then here's the really sad one. 5 years of your precious life, you're going to spend waiting in line. How many of you have been to a doctor's office? And then you sit there and you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, right? 5 years of your precious life, you're going to spend waiting. Time is the heritage of every person, whether a king or a street sweeper, an astronomer or a truck driver, a business tycoon or a grocery clerk. Each of us has the same number of hours in every day. And many necessities and opportunities are demanded of us each day. The kids listed up some for us, right? I mean, we have to brush our teeth if we want to have teeth the next day, right? We have to eat if we want to have enough energy to get up and do the things we need to do. We have to sleep. I mean, I don't sleep very much, but I have to sleep some, because if I would not, I'd be walking around like a zombie. You know? I mean, you have to sleep at least, I sleep 4 to 6 hours a week, I mean, day. But most people sleep, that was a slip, wasn't it? Holy moly, if I only slept 4 to 6 hours a week. Anyway, 4 to 6 hours a day I sleep. But in the end of time, you know, basically you have a percentage of your life that is already planned. If you want to wash and take a shower, if you want to eat and be nourishing your body, if you want to be a good husband or wife, take some time, doesn't it? What about being a parent? Holy moly, that takes some time. And an employee, or if you are an employer, either one takes time, right? And as a good steward, this is what our challenge is this morning, is to think about how we manage our time. I used to think that the Bible didn't say much about this. And I used to be the kind of person that said, you live carefree. You know, you just kind of wake up every day and don't plan a calendar, don't have an agenda. You know, just do whatever comes your way. That was my attitude when I was younger. I thought that was kind of cool. And then I started to really study the Bible. And you know, there is a lot in there about time. Do you know that Joseph, who put away lots and lots of food, provided for when the famine came? So if he had not taken that extra time to plan, to put away food, how many people would have starved? The other thing is, if you read very closely into some of the military, which I know we're not always about war, right? But it's part of the scriptures. And so I tell you that when people were successful in military action, they put a lot of time into planning and training and resourcing. Time management, whether we like it or not, is scriptural. And when we wake up every day, we have choices with what to do with our time. And as I mentioned to the children, we can easily fill up that day with worries and fears and frustrations and anxieties and all the things we have to do, right? And then at the end of the day, we're like, oh, I should have prayed. Oh, I should have read scripture. Oh, I should have gone to the Bible study. Oh, I should have spent time with my child. Oh, I should have spent time with my spouse. Oh, I should have said things I was thankful for. If, right? I mean, I'm guilty of it too. The end of the day comes and we don't set aside time the way we should to give to God. So here we have choices, right? Every day we have, if we're a school person, we go to school. We have athletics if we want to stay healthy. If we have devotions we want to say. If we commute to work. I mean, some of you have a 2.5-hour commute one way, let alone back, right? So you have time that you have to devote to that. And then there's, you know, your job itself or school itself. You have rest. You have to sleep. Most of the time you have to do laundry and clean up, right? I mean, if you don't, it's kind of a scary thing. And then I hope maybe somewhere in there you have time for a recreation or a social life, because a balanced life is a good life, right? I mean, when you have time for you. And definitely in there is time for Christ, right? And so I want you to be challenged as you go home today to think about what blocks of your life are wasteful. And that's not to say that you fill every single second with something to do, because I definitely think that's something we do wrong today, is that we are so busy and so keen on setting our agenda so full that we can feel like we've accomplished something because we've done so many things. I don't think that's really what setting aside an agenda is about. It's making sure you don't have a lot of wasted blocks of time. Robert Banks has an interesting note on this for the Christian. He says, with respect to time, Christians are a good deal worse off than many. And this is especially the case if they live in a large city or belong to middle class or have managerial or professional positions or combine outside employment with substantial household responsibilities. Because Christians and people raised in a Christian setting tend to take work more seriously than others, and they place a high value on family, and they are often in the forefront of community and charitable associations. And the upshot of this commitment to work, community, and family is that his son once said to him, Christians are like trains, always on the move, always in a rush, and always late. It's not really busy lives that we need, is it? And from the standpoint of Christians, it's where we are and what we do with what we have been given. And in our performance-oriented society, activity that produces a kind of result is what people have told us makes our lives valuable. But I caution you, because at the end of the day, I mean, at the end of your life, is it really the things that you have done that make you worthwhile? Or is it the impact on the relationships that you've been entrusted? God is not limited by time as we are. Isn't that cool? He is sovereign, right? And he created time for us, but he is not bound by it. It says in scripture that a day is 1,000 years to God. And so when we are relating to him, we think about how we're going to spend forever with him in heaven. But do you remember when he was here, Jesus was here, and there was a woman that took ointment out and she poured it all over his feet? And let me just tell you what, it was $33,000 worth of ointment that she threw on his feet, right, as a sign of love and blessing. And the disciples that were standing around her said, whoa, $33,000. How many people could you feed with that? you know, what could you do? I mean, who are you that you would waste that ointment on Jesus' feet, right? And you'd think Jesus would have said, yeah, exactly right. Give that $33,000 to the poor. What were you doing? But what does Jesus say? He says, no, you know what? The poor will always be with you, which is a challenging verse. I'm not saying it's easy to understand. But what's key about the next part of the verse is he says, but I will not be here forever. Sometimes when we're feverish or rushed or busy or whatever, the people in our lives get compromised. And I have a good friend, Diane, and she had to go through a terrible divorce, and she was raising two kids on her own, and her son was having some problems, and so she went to a therapist to talk about how to help her son, right? And her son, I guess, went too. But the therapist gave her this advice. It was called the 20-minute time. Have you guys ever heard of this? The therapist shared with her that research says that children who get 20 minutes a day with their parent, uninterrupted, doing what they want to do, only 20 minutes, which, once again, is 20 minutes a lot of time or not, right? But 20 minutes doing what they want to do every day will increase their trust of you and know that they are loved. 20 minutes every day with them. And you know what? She started to do it. Every day she went home, and 20 minutes a day she spent with each kid doing whatever they wanted to do, right? On the floor. They call it floor time if they're young, right? And she noticed a huge difference in what happened with her child's behavior. And I'm not saying that that happens every single time, but that was the issue that she had to deal with, was to show her son that even though life can be super busy and super crazy, that he still was important to her and mattered to her. And I challenge those of you that are husbands, it's easy sometimes when you come home to watch sports or to play golf or to get on the computer and do research or read a magazine or sleep. I see a lot of guys come home and, you know, they're on the couch, you know, because it's tiring. Life is tiring, right? I mean, and I'm not just picking on you men. I'm going to get to the woman too. But when you come home, remember that 20 minutes also applies to your spouse. My parents, didn't necessarily do the 20 minutes a day thing, but they bunched it all together. And Friday night was date night in my parents' life. And every Friday night, I don't care whether I had a sporting event or a party I wanted them to go to with me or what movie I wanted to see and I wanted them to take me, didn't matter. Every Friday night was date night for my parents. And they made a commitment to each other. And do you know that they are still happily married 52 years later? And my dad spent most of the last 3 years in the hospital, and they are still together. And I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I'm saying it's a matter of priority with time, right? We're only given so much time. And what we do with our time, whether we like it or not, tells others about who we are and about what is important to us. So make a 20-minute a day promise to the people in your life. Make time to prioritize your day. I think about the gift of technology. I love my iPhone. I mean, I'm serious. It has changed my life. It's so cool. And I pay that bill every month, and I'm like, oh, jeez, I'm so crazy. I'm paying that much for a phone. But all the same, it's amazing what it can do. You can check email wherever you are. You can find a map to get, you know, technology is fantastic, right? And you would think with all the technology that we have, all of the time-saving devices that we're supposed to have, that we would have all this leftover hours of the day to get things done. But I don't really think that's what happened with this technological saving, time-saving device, right? I actually feel like I'm more pressured to get things done, and there's less hours in the day because I have all this stuff that has to be done and not enough time to get it done. But consider that the Lord tells us how to do it, doesn't he? He tells us how to spend our day. And I showed you with the children how easy it was. If you put the right priority in front, God helps you get everything done. If you put the right priority in the day, God will help you get everything done. I'm going to close with a song. It's Cats in the Cradle. Have you guys ever heard that before? It was popular years ago. I used to be a radio DJ. Did you know that? Classic rock was my music. And so I know a lot of weird songs. But anyway, Cats in the Cradle is one of those songs that I think speaks volumes to us. It does. If you've never heard of it, you're probably too young to know about it. But it says, my child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in a usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. And he learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. I'm going to be like you. And then, of course, there's the chorus and the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together soon. You know we'll have a good time then. The next verse. My son turned 10 just the other day, and he said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? And I said, not today. I got a lot to do. And he said, that's okay, and he walked away. But his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. And then there's another little verse, chorus, and the cats in the cradle, the silver spoon, little boy blue, and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together soon. You know we'll have a good time then. And then the next verse, well, he came home from college just the other day, so much like a man. I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? But he shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And then, of course, the chorus, the cats in the cradle, silver spoon, little boy blue, and the man in the moon. When you coming home, son, I don't know when. We'll get together soon. You know we'll have a good time then. And next, I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day and I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. And he said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. Sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. I don't know what to tell you except for that stewardship begins with the gift of time. Time is one of the most precious things that we have. And it tells a lot about our Christian discipleship, how we use it. 24 hours every day. And I'm going to end by saying that the verse that I read from the gospel lesson today talked about how we live as if Jesus is coming back now. Right? We don't know when he's coming. But let's just assume that, I mean, it breaks my heart to think that Lisa Caperso's brother died at 42. He's too young. But we don't know. When is the hour or the time, right? We don't know. So assuming that Jesus came back today, or if you walked out of here and something, God forbid, happened to you, what can you say you did with the gift of time? And I pray that it's to love one another and to love the Lord your God for now and forevermore. Amen.